Listening Library presents The Red Blazer Girls, The Mistaken Masterpiece by Michael D. Beale. Read for you by Ty Alexandra Ricci. Chapter 1. Trust me, I thought it was a non-contact sport, too. I glide through the water after a picture-perfect flip turn, the muscles in my arms and shoulders grateful for those 2 seconds of rest before my face bursts through the surface. With 50 meters to go and a comfortable lead, I could relax and cruise to the finish. But that's just not me. I'm not about to let a little discomfort get in the way of a personal best time in the 400 individual medley. So I come out of the turn and start the final lap with arms and legs churning. The last 20 meters feel like I'm swimming in oatmeal. And when I finally touch the wall, every molecule in my body is aching, and I am struggling to get enough air in my lungs. My swim coach, Michelle, is standing over me, smiling at the stopwatch in her hand. She bends down, holding it closer for me to see, but the chlorine in my eyes makes it hard for me to focus. Good? I ask, squinting. Nope. Great! You broke your own record by almost 3 seconds. In the lane to my left, my teammate Olivia Livy Clack touches the wall and lifts her perky, perfect nose to face Michelle. Nice job, Liv, I say, trying to be friendly. Thought you were going to pass me in the backstroke. Of the 4 strokes in the 400 IM, butterfly, back, breast, and freestyle, the backstroke has always been my weakest, and it is Livy's strongest. Livy doesn't even bother to look at me. She just kind of grunts and swims away, ducking under the lane markers to go talk to her friends, who are still finishing. What is with you two? Michelle asks. Long story, I say. And it is. For now, let me just say that while the Red Blazer girls, that's me and my 3 best friends, Margaret Vrobel, Rebecca Chen, and Leanne Himes, were busy solving the mystery of the vanishing violin, we had a little run-in with Livy and her friends. I know it sounds incredibly juvenile, but she started it. It's not my fault she picked a fight with 4 girls who are smart, stubborn, and not at all above a little revenge if the situation requires it. It did. So we did. And while she used to just ignore me, she now appears to be embracing an active hatred of me. It's our last practice before our first meet, which is against a team from Westchester that has been together for years and is rumored to be really tough. We, on the other hand, have only been practicing at the pool at Asphalt Green on the Upper East Side of Manhattan for a month. When I was 9 and 10, I was on another of Michelle's junior swim teams, but I took a year off from the sport to concentrate on school and the guitar. Funny thing, though, it turns out there is enough time in the day to swim, too, if you're willing to get up at 5 in the morning. Margaret is still amazed that I'm doing it. After all, I used to grumble and be grouchy all day whenever she decided we absolutely needed an early start on the mystery of the moment and called me at 6 o'clock. After a few weeks of getting up at 5, 6 is a slice-o-strudel. Michelle gives the stragglers a minute to catch their breath and then turns us all loose for our final cool-down swim, 800 meters, alternating between back and breaststroke. She assigns the center lane to Livy and me because we're usually fairly well matched, speed-wise. The idea in sharing a lane is like driving a car. Always stay to the right. Which sounds simple, but nobody can backstroke in a straight line, so we're always running into each other. When Michelle gives the signal, Livy and I dive in from opposite ends of the pool. Even though I am definitely not slacking off, Livy starts to creep up on me almost immediately. Each time we pass by each other, I get a whiff of pure intensity that overpowers the smell of the chlorine. I'll admit it, that all-out 400 took a lot out of me, and I'm too tired to get into some weird grudge match with her in what is supposed to be a cool-down swim. With 2 laps to go, she is still gaining on me, and Michelle shouts at me to hold her off over the last 100 meters. I groan to myself, but push hard off the wall before starting my breaststroke. When my face breaks through the surface, Livy is right in front of me, backstroking like some kind of demented propeller zombie. Livy! I shout, hoping to prevent a collision. She veers right, arms still spinning madly, and the heel of her right hand karate chops me right smack on the nose. Direct hit. And instantly, the pool looks like a scene from Jaws. There is blood everywhere, and Michelle is shouting at me to get out of the pool, which I would be happy to do, if only I could see something besides a gajillion stars. I feel someone's arms around me, dragging me to the side, where several more hands reach down and yank me out of the water. Like most kids, I've taken a few direct hits to the noggin from soccer balls, but they were nothing compared to what is happening to my face as they lay me down on the pool deck and tilt my head back. Michelle's first words, "Oh my God." Not exactly encouraging. "Sophie, we're going to have to take you to the emergency room. She really whacked you. And you probably need to be checked out for concussion. And, I think your nose is broken." "Not my nose! I love my nose. It's not perky like Livy's. It's kind of a miniature version of my dad's classic French schnoz. Some people, small-nosed, small-minded people most likely, might think it's too big. Personally, I prefer to think of it as having a little character." I reach up to touch it. Big mistake. "Ow!" I scream. "Man, look at her eyes," says Carrie Petrus, one of my teammates, who is leaning over me for a closer look. "What's wrong with my eyes?" I mumble. I know I'm not blind. My vision has come back enough for me to see the blood all over me and my swimsuit.
Nothing, Carrie lies.
"Michelle, what's wrong with my eyes?"
I shout. Yet another painful mistake. "Nothing. Your eyes are fine. Around them is a different story. You're going to have a couple of good shiners for a few days." When Livy, looking really sheepish, shows up with one of those blue ice packs, Michelle takes it from her and gently sets it on what's left of my nose.
"Ow, ow, ow!"
"I know. I'm so sorry, honey, but you really need to do this. Try to hold it on your face for a few minutes, and then I'll get a taxi and take you to the hospital. We can call your parents from there." I nod at her, wincing at the pain.
"Okay, but honey, 'cause I think my face is gonna explode."
Michelle stands up and announces, "Okay, everybody, that's it for today. See you all tomorrow at 5:15. Don't be late." Once a coach, always a coach, I guess. Even when your star is practically bleeding to death. I try to sit up, but I'm dizzy, and my head is wobbling around like one of those bobblehead dolls, and Michelle makes me lie back down. "Whoa there, sport. You stay here with Carrie. I'll get the taxi and come right back for you. Don't move." I don't argue with her, because moving really hurts. I close my eyes for a few seconds and imagine that I'm curled up in my bed on a snowy Saturday morning with a favorite book, sipping hot chocolate and nibbling on Dad's freshly baked Madeleine. A very familiar voice cuts this little voyage to my happy place short. "Sophie, are you alive?" I open my eyes, but all I can see is a vague shadow through the blue gel of the ice pack.
"Margaret? That you?"
"Geez, you scared me to death, Sophie," Margaret says. "I came by to see if you wanted to walk to school together, since it's such a nice morning. Then I get here and see you stretched out flat on the ground with blood everywhere. What happened?"
"Libby."
"Libby? Who's Libby?"
"Dad Libby. Libby. Oh."
I think she's trying to say Livy, Carrie says. They were like sharing a lane. Sophie's face sort of ran into Livy's hand. Margaret looks around at me, at all the blood, and says with mock seriousness, "I always knew this feud with Livy Clack would end in bloodshed." I fight back the urge to laugh because my gut tells me that would really hurt right now. When Michelle returns, the three of them help me to my feet and sort of half carry, half drag me out the door and into the waiting taxi. Michelle and Margaret talk to my parents on
Sample complete. Ready to continue?